heard, and they of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So you see, the gift of the Holy Ghost, the baptismal measure, the operation of the Spirit, was upon the Jews in Acts 10. Now the same thing happens to the Gentiles, was upon the Jews in Acts 2. Same thing now happens to Gentiles in Acts 10. So, the Holy Spirit falling in this outpouring measure was in Acts 2 to allow those Jews to see the apostles had the truth. They were speaking for God. So Acts 2 was directed to the Jews. Acts 10 is directed to the Gentiles. And the baptism of measure for the Gentiles allows them now to be brought in with the Jews to God's plans and purposes. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit was for the purpose of opening the door. First of all to the Jews, secondly 3.5 years later to the Gentiles, to bring them into God's plans and purposes to receive the blood of Christ in the forgiving nature. Consequently then, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for today. It didn't happen but twice, never has happened but twice, never will happen but these two times, because it fulfilled its purpose. When someone gives you a candy bar, and you take the wrapper and you tear the end of it off, and you eat the candy bar, what do you do with the wrapper? Well, you throw it away. Where'd you throw it? It doesn't matter. The point is, you don't need it any longer because it's fulfilled its purpose. Now, the Holy Spirit baptism has fulfilled its purpose. Therefore, it doesn't happen any longer. It happened to bring the Jews into God's plans, happened to bring the Gentiles into God's plans. That's all flesh, as Joel chapter 2 said. So now, all flesh, every human being, has access to Jesus Christ. Jews first, Gentiles later. So said Paul in Romans 1:16. So see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was for all people, but it came in the form of two representative times. Acts 2, the Jews. Acts 10, the Gentiles. Now, we have the effect of that continuing today, but we don't have it in fact. Let me say that again. We don't have the Holy Spirit baptism in fact today because it happened and fulfilled its purpose, but the effect of it continues so that now and to the end of the world, anybody, whoever they are, who wants to respond to Christ can do so and be accepted because God's opened the door to the Jews first and to the Gentiles secondly. So see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is very interesting in that the purpose was fulfilled, it has been fulfilled, it continues now. Notice then, if you would, in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit baptism fell upon those present who had become disciples of Christ already. But it was to show the Jews who surrounded them that the apostles had the truth. Now, in Acts chapter 10, the purpose was to prove to the apostles the Gentiles now had access to God's plans and purposes. It was poured out upon those who were not yet disciples of Christ. So Holy Spirit baptism happened, first of all, to those who were saved, and secondly, to those who were not saved. The purpose, though, was not to save anybody. It was simply to open the door of the truth to those various groups, Jews first and Gentiles second. So the Holy Spirit baptism is something that is greatly misunderstood today, and certainly is misunderstood the point at which so many people are confused about this being done. But I think the Bible very plainly shows us then it was something that happened a long time ago. The effect continues today. So when people today talk about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they just simply don't understand what the Bible says. I'll say that kindly, but the Holy Spirit baptism happened. It's already done. Its purpose is fulfilled. And the effect continues, but we don't have that baptism of the Holy Spirit today. So we talked about the Holy Spirit as it relates to God Himself. We talked about the Holy Spirit as it relates to Jesus Himself. We talked about the Holy Spirit as it has to do with making apostles. We spoke about the Holy Spirit in the sense that it has the effect of covering the entire world. We spoke a few minutes ago about the apostles receiving the Holy Spirit, were able to perform miracles, and were able to write by inspiration the words we have called the Bible. But now we come to another phase of the work of the Spirit, which is most interesting and too greatly misunderstood. The apostles possessed divine inspiration not common to all disciples. Let me say that again. The apostles had a measure of the Spirit that was not common to all disciples. It was to them alone. And this included the presence of the Holy Spirit with such measure as in John 14:26, he says, to teach you all things, to bring all things to remembrance whichever I've spoken to you. The apostles then were given the measure of spirit so that what Christ had taught them, they could remember and could relate to you and me later on. So they had a measure of the Spirit that allowed them to speak by inspiration, to write the words we have in the Bible. Now in Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, the Bible tells us that certain signs would follow these apostles. Now, I think I might ought to read that to you word for word. This is the last chapter of Mark and the last couple of verses in the chapter. He says, and these signs shall follow those that believe. And he says, in my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, if they're drinking a deadly thing shall not hurt them, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So here there were certain miraculous powers that were given to the apostles. Now you can remember where this occurred on several occasions. Peter was able to heal a man who was sitting by the beautiful temple, the gate of the temple, and he healed that man. You remember that Paul in the Isle of Melita was bit by a viper, by a snake, and he should have died, a very poisonous snake, and they looked for him to fall over dead, but he didn't. So you see, he could handle a snake and not die. Now, our snake handling friends up in North Georgia, you misunderstand this verse. It was for the apostles, it was not for us today. So the apostles had certain powers they could perform, certain miracles they could enact because they were apostles. And then also, they had the power to impart to others the gift to perform miracles. Now this is where sometimes we have a problem. The apostles could perform miracles. They were men of inspiration to speak the word of truth and to write it down in the Bible to have it. They also could impart their gift to someone else, but it was limited in time, so that it did not continue after the apostles died. They were the only ones who could impart spiritual gifts to someone else. So today, we do not have spiritual gifts as they did, so that we can speak in tongues, or we can handle snakes, or we can drink poison, or we can raise the dead. The apostles could do that. And those they imparted the gifts to could do that. When the apostles died, and when those who had the gift imparted to them died, then it ceased and does not continue beyond that time. I don't misunderstand me. God still performs miracles. There's no question about God's power. But God does not give you or me power to perform these miracles ourselves. God can, and our prayer many times intercedes, and we speak in interest to someone else to be cured or healed, such as I mentioned last night, your wife being taken to the hospital, or your little daughter or son having an accident. We pray for those things, and if God sees fit, He'll heal them. Not because we did it, but He listens to our prayers. So God still has power to perform miracles, but you and I don't have. Now let's go, if we can, into some ideas that will let this be seen. Carefully noted that established in the Lord's church in Acts 2, miraculous powers and gifts were limited to the apostles and those upon whom the apostles laid their hands. Acts chapter 6, verse 6, and 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 tells us about it. We'll mention those in just a moment. But the imposition of hands, the imparting of the gift by laying on a hand on someone else, was common and is mentioned several times in the Bible. In the book of Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas were sent on a mission from Antioch, which is in Syria, over to Turkey, where Saul is from. And as they went on their way, the elders laid their hands on them. Now, this was not to impart a spiritual gift. And the reason why is because the elders didn't have that power to do that. But it's something similar to what you and I would do today, in that if someone's going on a trip for the Lord, we might pat him on the back, or we might shake hands with him, say, God bless you and God go with you. Now, that's the laying on of hands. It's expressed in the Bible as the laying on of hands. It simply means, we bid you Godspeed, we're with you, may God bless you as you go on your journey. And that's what they did in Acts 13. The reason why is because Paul and Barnabas are going on the trip, but the elders blessed them in going on the trip, but they could not impart spiritual gifts because they didn't have the power. They were simply elders, they were not apostles. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible tells us that Paul had laid his hands on Timothy, and Paul could impart spiritual gifts because he was an apostle. So we have here two cases. One where the laying on of hands was simply to bid them Godspeed. The other was to impart a spiritual gift, such as Paul did to Timothy. But only when this was done by an apostle was that enacted. And we notice this in the book of Acts chapter 8. Let me see if I can read to you from chapter 8, beginning with verse 55 there. We find that at a place just north of Jerusalem, some things took place, and taking place there, it was necessary for the apostles in Jerusalem to take note of what was taking place. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now Philip had the apostles' hands laid on him back in Acts chapter 6. Notice in Acts chapter 6, Philip had the apostles' hands laid on him. In Acts chapter 8, where we're reading now. So Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached gospel of Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those that things which Peter, which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. And there was a certain man named Simon who saw these things going on. He was a fortune teller type person, and they had listened to him in the past. But then it says in verse 4, verse 12, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself, this fortune teller, believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, wondering, beholding the miracles and signs which he did. And when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. And notice, Samaria is north of Jerusalem. It's down from the hill where Jerusalem is, but it's north of Jerusalem. And it says when the apostles, Peter and John, at Jerusalem had heard that Samaria had received the word, they were sent to them. Why? Now, since Philip had the apostles' hands laid on him, and since Philip could perform miracles that it says that he did, why didn't they just let Philip go ahead and perform the miracles up there? Why didn't they let Philip impart the gift to somebody else? The reason, very simply, is Philip couldn't do it. You see, the apostles had the power to perform miracles. They had the power to impart the gift to someone else. But that person could not impart it to anybody else. It was limited to the apostles themselves. The apostles were the only ones who could impart a spiritual gift. And then it says, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, although they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So then we have the understanding that the apostles were the only ones who could impart a spiritual gift to anyone else. And when they died, and those who had received that impartation died, then the ability to impart spiritual gifts passed away. So we have here a great understanding, I think, as to presence of the impartation of gifts. Another example is in Acts chapter 19. In Acts 19, the Bible tells us that Paul had passed through a certain area and found some people there who he thought were disciples of Christ. Now, he was mistaken, and the reason he was mistaken is because of outward appearance, they looked like they were Christians. Notice in verse 1, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples there at Ephesus, he said to them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. So, since Paul found these people, and in all appearance they were disciples of Christ, he asked them about the Holy Ghost. They said, we don't know what you're talking about, Paul. We don't understand what you're talking about. Then he said in verse 3, unto what then were you baptized? So he was in question, too, about their standing, because they should have known about the Holy Ghost. They said, we don't know. Unto John's baptism, they said. And then said Paul, John verily baptized the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So here were people who were baptized improperly because they were baptized under John as opposed to under Jesus. John's baptism had ceased. Now, they were baptized unto Jesus now. They're members of the Lord's church, the disciples of Christ. Notice verse 6. When Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And notice, Paul is the one who was an apostle. And Paul baptized them in the name of Jesus with water. Then he laid his hands on them, and they received the gift to speak in tongues. The point is, Paul could impart this gift to them, but nobody else could. So the apostles could impart a gift so that those whose his hands are laid upon could speak in tongues, they could handle the snakes if possible, and many of the things that they could do that the normal person couldn't do because the apostles' hands had been laid on them. But when the apostles died, and when these people who had the apostles' hands laid on them died, then that gift ceased. So today, we don't have the gifts to perform miracles. Let me make a distinction, as the Bible does, between gifts of the Spirit and gift of the Spirit. Did you notice I put an S on one of those words and didn't on the other? The gifts of the Spirit is that which the apostles had and which the apostles here gave these people in Ephesus. The gifts were to speak in tongues, to raise the dead, to handle serpents, to drink deadly poison. They had the ability to foresee future events. They had many abilities because they had the gifts of the Spirit. Now, those have ceased now because the apostles have died. But all of us who are members of the Lord's church receive the gift of the Spirit. There's a difference. In one case, the Spirit is given to us by God as a gift. In the other case, the gifts that come from the Spirit were given to certain people then, there, in those days, in that age. So a distinction is made between the gift of the Spirit Himself and the gifts that come along with the Spirit. Now, we have come to a point at which now we're going to cease our speaking about the Spirit this morning with just a few simple comments left to be made. And tonight we're going to talk about the gift of the Spirit itself. Let me hasten to say, every single person who has ever been baptized into Christ, become a member of God's family, has the gift of the Spirit. So as Paul came here in Acts 19 and says, have you received the Holy Spirit? So many people today would say, well, I don't know. Yes, if you've been baptized into Christ, you have received the gift of the Spirit. But you haven't received the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit were speaking in tongues, for an example, and raising the dead and drinking deadly poison. The gifts of the Spirit there in prophesying. You haven't received those, never will. But the gift of the Spirit is yours. And what does that mean? Well, of course, it'll take too much time now to continue that thought. But this afternoon, Lord willing, we'll go into the gift of the Spirit and speak quite a bit about what that means. That applies to you and me today. So we talked this morning about five measures of the Spirit. The sixth one remains. We'll talk about that this afternoon. Now, you listen very, very carefully, and we appreciate your doing so. I know this is a very deep subject. I've talked relatively fast. I mentioned a number of scriptures that we haven't read, and some we have. And it probably be well that we go over this time and time again to thoroughly understand it. I know it's not really interesting in some ways because it's very deep and so many factors about it that are rather confusing. But I hope we have at least perked your attention to want to study more about it. If you see fit to want to, I'll be glad to give you some notes on that to read and take home with you, and perhaps have study privately more if you wish. Or this afternoon, if you have some questions you want to ask, let me know those things now, and we'll try to talk about those as we continue this afternoon. But now, thank you so much for being here, for listening, and for giving attention to the things we've had to say. We turn our thoughts now to the Lord's Supper, to that which is so important in God's sight and to those who are members of His church. The reason we really gather on the first day of each week. But as we turn our thoughts that way, let's also stand to sing a song of praise. And should there be someone here this morning who's not a Christian, who would like to become a member of the Lord's church and have the hope and joy and peace only we can have as children of God, we want you to be encouraged to come forward. Let us know if you wish that you might be baptized in Jesus Christ. Or if there might be someone who's in need of our prayers this morning, by all means, let your wish be known too. while we stand and while we sing.